Welcome, welcome, welcome. What happens when your sense of purpose is born out of your deepest pain? Today, we're going to have none other than RG Enzyme with us. We're going to have this powerful conversation about why, your why, okay? So I would like to just like address him and just like introduce him formally because I'm really impressed with him. You guys were with us in backstage, but we had a great conversation. So, so in this episode, we're going to be talking about RG's journey from a young tech enthusiast in the Philippines to a successful business owner in the U.S. Navy. And that's his testament to resilience and relentless drive. He's going to share his personal tragedies that became a catalyst that propelled him to build a life of passion. And he's still young. I can't believe it. Yes. Has a resume just as long as mine, and I'm older. And so welcome to the show, RG.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be
here. I'm really happy to have you here. Thanks so much for being here. Like I said, we had this conversation in the back, I think for 15 minutes. He paired with me.
It was fun.
You've come out of, of sudden events, tragedies and loss, and you still came into this great space. You know, how do you show up in the world today?
I think right now it's all about being consistent. But I wasn't like that before, and in the beginning, I was very introverted. I still am an introvert. Okay. I guess kind of an opposite of you. But it's sort of like,
I'm an introvert sometimes.
Yeah. So it's just, like seeing my parents, especially my grandmother who helped raise me up. They would always be there. They always show up and they're always consistent when they do. So I think that's kind of like the big proponent of how I do things now that I'm older. And mm-hmm. I'm just really happy and like lucky that I get to experience that.
I see. Before there was a pivotal moment for you during a deployment, the sudden tragic loss of your grandmother, can you tell us how that event changed your world and what it made you realize?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that question. So really, I was brand new in the Navy and I didn't know anything because the little backstory about it is that before I turned 18, my parents, who had, really good careers in the Philippines, both of them were like doing government employee stuff, working the 9-to-5, but also my mom had a side hustle, which right. basically earns her way more money than her 9-to-5 job. And so we had like a couple of like business ventures, and my dad was like really into politics. He was basically a lawyer in the Philippines, right? So if you think about it, like we had a really good, pretty much, pretty set up in the Philippines. But the biggest thing was that they wanted us, for me and my sister, to have better opportunities, because at the end of the day, if you're in a third world country, you're not going to get the same opportunities as if you're in the first world country, right?
Right.
And because they had the opportunities to come here, they brought us in. But then I finished college and all that stuff in the Philippines. But essentially, the immigration process back then was that, I don't know if it's the same now, but essentially, before, you couldn't go past, I think, a year between that 5-year mark, or like, I think 180 days. I really can't remember. But anyway, because I kept going back to the Philippines for school while I was waiting for my citizenship, my timeline basically reset. So the fastest way, to put it bluntly, was to join the military in order for you to get your citizenship faster, because the timeline is like 5 years to get your citizenship. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the military, you pretty much get it within like 2 months.
Gotcha.
So, that's a big difference. And so I joined the military. I was the first person in their family to join ever. Mom was about it. Big difference, right? With like white collar jobs that they've had. And then I was in the military, and then out of the blue, we were in deployment, first duty station. I get this email from my aunt, and I thought at first it was a scam, right? Because it was sent by a military work email, and the message was basically saying, "Hey, don't be surprised or don't feel shocked, but your grandma passed away." You know, like at first, like first of all, that's really random, and second, right. That's not something you joke about. So I was like,
right, exactly.
You know, like who's playing me, right? And my grandmother at the time, she was around in her 60s, but
wow.
But like, young. Right, yeah, and but like her energy level, you wouldn't think she's already in her 60s. She's very active, right? Mm-hmm. And so during that time, I was still trying to figure out life for me because I was still young. Right. And I was there, and then I was trying to take leave, right? I was trying to get off the deployment. That way I can attend my grandmother's funeral. But I wasn't mm-hmm. able to, and that was basically the turning point for me, right? Because I was like, why am I stuck in the middle of the ocean? And I get it, you know, we have a mission because that's all the military is about. Right. But right. I was a junior sailor, which means I have zero leadership responsibility or anything like that. So my thinking back then was like, how am I stuck here when, right. you know, like I'm very unimportant at this point in my career. So mm-hmm. how am I stuck here, unable to call the shots in my life when I have my grandmother who basically raised me when I was younger and I couldn't even attend her funeral, right? So, mm-hmm. and I remember, you know, my grandmother, she didn't have a degree or anything like that, but she hustled her way through raising her 5 kids, which is, you know, the siblings of my mother. And right. they weren't rich or anything, but they were able to finish college because of her hard work.
Right.
So, that's and, you know, like, and the she would always tell us, you know, like, you have to go for the things that you want to do. And so that was kind of like the wake-up moment for me, you know, like, because she was in her 60s, not very young, but also not old in, you know, in terms of age. And I was just like, you know, life is too short for me to stay stuck in a career when I could be doing something else that I'm, you know, I'm probably going to be happier to do anyway. Because like the way my brain works is that I can't sit still and just do one thing.
Right.
Like it always wants to learn something. I don't know why. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm just built that way, I guess.
Right.
So that was.
I think you have the entrepreneur spirit in you. Yeah,
I think so too. Yeah, it's the grandma and then the mom. You know, my auntie as well. So it's, you know, it's really cool to see growing up.
Yeah, that's so profound. That's a profound why so many people face a similar kind of loss, but they don't have the tools to channel it like you did. You talked about how the Navy taught you 3 crucial skills: discipline, patience, and accountability. Can you tell us how these specific skills help you turn that grief into action and start a software business while still in the service?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, before the Navy, I was pretty much, you know, just doing parties left and right back in college, you know, the usual mm-hmm. stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, being the military, the first thing that they do when you join boot camp is that they yell at you and they don't let you sleep for like 48 hours almost, right?
Wow.
And essentially, boot camp is like two months long. And the main purpose of it is not really to yell at you, you know. It, obviously, that's what they do to you on the daily. But it's more so that way your brain starts getting engineered mm-hmm. to follow orders.
Gotcha.
That essentially, like, to take the civilian out of you, right? That's all it is to it, looking back anyway. And I think the very biggest thing before was that you can see, starting from boot camp to, like, actually reporting to your first duty station, going to schools that you're required to do in the military, the biggest thing was about being patient, right? Because, like, you start mm-hmm. from the beginning. And it's not like the civilian world where, like, you can just answer back if you want to. You know, it's very, there's a structure, essentially. So you gotta play the game and all that stuff.
Right.
And you need to have your discipline because at the end of the day, you're supporting a mission. And to me, it's all about accountability as well. Because if you don't have accountability, how can you have ownership with whatever you do, right? And, you know, when my grandmother passed away, I basically had two choices. One, either, sorry, three choices, I guess. One, stay the same. Two, sulk about it and just, you know, take my life down the spiral drain. Or three, do something about what I really wanted to do even before I joined the military. So obviously I picked the third option. It wasn't easy, but, you know, I think the military really helped me out with that.
Yeah, that's great. You also mentioned that you're a self-professed introvert. How did you use that introvert nature as a superpower to quietly scale your business and build your team?
I think it's more so about combining technology with my introvertness. Okay. I think I was very lucky that the technology was being introduced and it started to ramp up when I started doing these things. The biggest thing about it is that being an introvert, I cannot talk in front of a lot of people per se. And okay. I think doing one-on-one talks has really helped me out. Because before, you know, I even now, like, I'm not really comfortable in speaking, you know, doing like a one-to-many speaking gigs out there. But if you talk to me one-on-one, I will, you know, like, I will talk to you for days about things that we're both mutually interested in, right? And I think that was really helpful. And because I was an introvert, I wasn't really all about my initial reaction would not to ask somebody. It's more so, all right, how can I figure this out by myself? So I started learning by myself. And then remember, I did my college in the Philippines and the degree that I was taking was information technology. So I was making friends, but not a lot because I'm shy. But essentially, I kept their contacts. And then by the time I was ready to do all of these things, I started hiring my college classmates back in the Philippines.
Oh, that's good.
You know, like even before they came up with this term, you know, VAs, outsourcing, stuff like that, I was already doing it. It's just not, you know, a popular thing back then.
Yeah, I was doing it too. So
exactly. It's just not a popular term, right?
If it's in your personality, that's a superpower. Like you used your superpower as an introvert to do what you do, how you connect with other people. Yeah. So I'm an extrovert, and of course I did the same exact thing, but different area. But I did the same exact thing, and then I hired the ones I loved. Hey, pretty cool. You know, it's the way to go. I mean, I think that is it's organic, number one. And number two, you already know them. You all know how to work together because they accept who you are. Yeah. So like if they go out and get somebody, they already know you. So you keep the connections. Even as an introvert, you can keep connections. Is that great? That's super, super. But I'm an introvert sometimes. So like sometimes I don't want to be bothered. So it happens to all of us, introvert or extroverts, it happens. But it's just so organic that you did that. And, you know, audience, we need to know that that's, you know, being an introvert is not, you know, a bad side. It's a superpower. And you use that superpower to create a team. How many of us extroverts can say that? Probably many, many, because we don't think about teams. I love teams. I love getting my work done without pressure. I told you, I think... You know, we as entrepreneurs, I think you're a different type of entrepreneur like me. You like all the excitement of all that's going on, but you like the soft life. You're like, I don't want to do no work. You know, really. And that's really what you're trying to get to is that make your life easier and people make it easier. People, teams make it easier. So that's what RG is saying us to us today. So we're going to get to the part where RG is going to give us a lesson. All right. This is the lesson segment, RG. if you could boil down your entire journey, okay, from the loss of your grandmother to building an empire, because that's what you built, to one core lesson, what would it be? And what is the aha moment that changed everything for you?
I think, to me, the biggest thing would be about choosing discipline over motivation or anything else. You know, because if you're building your, you know, if you're building your discipline, or you're building off and you're showing up, even though you don't feel like it, if you don't, if you can't feel like it or whatever it is, but you're still doing bits and pieces, working through your goals, your mission, your values, and what have you.
Right.
You know, you might feel that this is a waste of time. This is repetitive. This doesn't show any impact right now. But, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the line, you play the long game, you'll see the results of it. I think that's really important.
Oh, that's really good. Because sometimes I get that way too, RG. I get like that. And I'm like, oh, here goes another show again. You know, it's like, oh, you know, and you get like that, you know, but I'm so disciplined. Honestly, when I don't feel well, I get myself there so I can show up because I know down the line, this is going to make sense. You know, this is going to produce something, you know, and it takes discipline so much more than motivation. Motivation is momentary.
Exactly.
Is long term, which I love. I love that. I love that about, because you're young also, and you're telling young people, listeners out there, hello, listen to this. Discipline. A young person is saying that this is how he built his company, his empire. So I like that. So what So you're saying that was your aha moment, that changed everything for you, that you had to, you know, look at discipline?
I think so, because like I see a lot of people, right, especially like being in the military, a lot of the people in the military, they join right after high school, which is great, right? Like it shows initiative. But also I see a lot of people when they're already in the military, they already have their, you know, like they already reported to their first duty station, second, third, whatever. And then a lot of this would be like an inside joke in the military, in the Navy particularly. But like, you know, all of us would just be like, man, I want to go home. 8 a.m. That's like the thing that they would say. I want to go home. And like, we just got here. You know, like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I also have my days where I'm like, I don't feel like doing stuff. Right.
Right.
But
right,
also,
right.
You know, like, if that's already your mindset about things, but you're not even trying, that kind of defeats the purpose of like, why are you even here in the first place? You know? And I think if you just change your mindset about stuff, instead of saying, I don't want to be here, you know, you can tell yourself, I'm the type of person who shows up, that that rewires your whole identity. And it also propels you towards being more disciplined than just you waiting for motivation to say, you know, one of these days I feel like working, you know? So I think discipline is really connected to success and like consistency as well.
Okay. So backstage, we talked about AI because that's your thing. So I want to talk about this because we got a few minutes to talk about this. And we have the lesson, guys. You have the lesson. Listen, he already gave you what is good for you. So I want to jump right into this question. Let's talk about AI. Let's talk about it. Tell us about it. You know, I'm okay. Let me go from my perspective. I'm not a senior yet, but I'm older. What would you tell me in diving into AI with all the myths that they're talking about? Oh, it's going to take over. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. It's going to become you. And what would you tell me if I wanted to help my business? What would you tell me?
I think it's just another mindset shift, you know, like instead of fearing what's inevitable, I'm not saying it's inevitable that we're going to be replaced by AI. It's more so Because I had this thought too, you know, like when it first started like really getting hot, I was like, well, I own a digital marketing agency. You know, I'm basically set up for fail, right? And I'm like, why am I thinking this, right? And then I watched this YouTube video, forget what it, who it was, but he was like, this guy was basically saying, you know, AI is not going to replace you. It's more so that you're going to be replaced by somebody who invested the time to learn AI, you know? Yeah. Or if you don't, if you can't, or if you really don't want to learn AI, then figure out how you can hire and attract talent that knows more about AI. That way you can utilize their time and knowledge for your business. I think that's the biggest thing about AI.
Oh, that's so good. Hands down, I totally 100% agree. You gave me two lessons now. Audience, two lessons here. Your pain doesn't have to break you, and you don't have to be scared of everything. Fear. You know, it can be the very thing that builds you up. Don't let it, you know, a mindset shift is so important. And it can be an ultimate motivator, your driving force, and the source of your second chance. For me, in my at my age range, you know, but you know, don't be afraid of that. Don't, you know, listen to the myths. And I think I was telling my friend this the other day, and she was saying how she was, you know, repeating the myths that everybody said. Well, they said this about. I was like, yeah, but are they you? Do they have your bloodline?
You know, like, have you even tried yourself?
Yeah, I said you're listening to them, but maybe they already had this, or maybe this happened. Their conditions could be different, you know, and their mindset could be different. But you have a different mindset, and you're different in general. I wouldn't take anybody's advice, you know. Yeah. I would like, how do I feel? Let me see. This needs to work for me, you know. Yeah. Okay, see it here, because that's what I did with AI. I was like, okay, this is happening, whether I get on or not, or get on board or not. So I might as well get on board.
Exactly. That's a really great thing to say, yeah.
I might as well get on board, learn about it as much as I possibly can without getting overwhelmed, and enjoy the ride. Use what works for me. Now, I know there's I want to say almost thousands of AI products now. But yeah, however I'm focused, that's what I'm using, is where, you know, so if I'm working with my podcast, everything's devoted to working with that. You know, it's just devoted to working with that, making it better, making it look good, whatever it is. But if I didn't say to myself, you know, hey, you know, it's going to happen regardless. Yeah. If you don't embrace it, it's going to happen. It's just like when the phone came along, you know, when the better phone came, because they did have this ugly phone. I was like, I'm not touching that. You know, when it first came out, I was like, that's too ugly. But when they come out with a better phone, you know, it's always going to get better and better and better.
Yeah.
Right. It's always going to, but either jump on, get and be on the ride or not. Don't know how to use it. And then you're stuck somewhere. And I remember going to Italy with my friends, and we went to Italy. And we walk past, we all have our cell phones. We walk past, and lo and behold, there's like, you know, the old phone booths. There's this color red. So it's like, who knew they still had phones, right? So I'm like, looking at it, and everybody's like coming over, snapping pictures. I was like, this is like a weird thing for me. And I go to Australia, you see the same thing in the countryside. They got like a phone in the middle of like 20 miles. I'm like, what is this? I have to stop, you know? But you get on board. You have to get on board with technology, because it's part of where we are right now. It's just part of it. There's nothing we can do but embrace it, or don't embrace it and be left behind. That's what you're trying to say for your business, because you built a great empire, right?
I hope so.
And I love that you said, get someone that knows more about it than you, so you can capitalize along with them in your business. I love that. That's great. It's monumental. So that's really good. I like that. I like it all. So, all right. So we've had this deep dive, and I love your perspective. Now, audience, what are you going to do with you know, Angie said to us, this is what you have a lot to do this week. So I would tell you to grab your journals, write things down. If you have to replay this several times, take all the good nuggets that you got from RG today and move forward. You know, learn from his experience or research him. Now his name is RG. You can't miss that because I did ask him, how do you pronounce his name? Silly me. Didn't think it was initials. Hello. But you can Google him. RG Enzon. E-N-Z-O-N. Find them, ask him the questions you need about building these companies, about what he does, because he's built an empire with a team. And that, I always talk about teams, by the way, RG, to everybody. You need a team, you know? Yeah. So how will you change your perspective? What strengths and do you have that you can work with? Your goal is to reframe the setback, not the tragedy, but as a lesson, a piece of foundation for your own second chance. RG, thank you so much for sharing your story and your wisdom with us. It's a true testament to finding purpose and meaning in every chapter of our lives. Where you can find you and learn about more of the work, we said your name already, so look for him. If you have any last words, RG, do you have anything?
No, just keep going.
Thank you again, RG, and to all listeners, remember to wake. This is your wake-up call, and this is a gift. What RG has said today is the universe's way of saying your second chance is waiting. Until next time, take care and take heart. Bye for now.
You're very smooth.
The holidays are about giving something truly special. I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts aren't just beautiful, they're useful every single day. Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations, and their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. It's more than a spice rack. It's a charming collection of hand-painted houses that turn ordinary spices into extraordinary experiences. Imagine cinnamon from a tiny Victorian cottage or oregano from a pastel townhouse. Suddenly, a simple meal becomes a moment to savor. Because spices can be more than ingredients. They can inspire memories, warmth, and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.